البيان راديو presents the following lesson from مسجد الأزهر بأمه.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهداه. أما بعد. My dearly respected brothers and sisters, we continue tonight with the explanation of الحائية, the poem by the great Imam Abu Bakr ibn Abi Dawood al-Sijistani rahimahullah, his famous poem in Aqidah, in Crete. And we began discussing one of the six pillars of Iman, and that is the belief in the last day. And we mentioned that the Imam rahimahullah, in this section of the book, he began by saying, and do not reject out of ignorance, Nakir and Munkar, which are the two angels that question a person in their grave. And this statement, where he, rahimahullah, says, do not reject out of ignorance, this, my brothers and sisters, it teaches us that a person should never reject something just because they have never heard it or are unaware of it. The Sheikh says you should not deny a thing simply because you are ignorant of it. Rather, we must believe in that which is authentically reported and established, regardless if you have knowledge of it or not, and regardless if you comprehend it or not, and regardless if you understand it or not. If something has been authentically reported from Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we must hear and we obey. Sami'na wa ata'na, and we surrender. Because Allah Azza wa Jal has rebuked those who reject things because according to them they do not understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ كَذَّبُوا بِمَا لَمْ يُحِيطُوا بِعِلْمِهِ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِهِمْ تَأْوِيلُ كَذَلِكَ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Allah Azza wa Jal says, nay, they have belied the knowledge whereof they could not comprehend. You see that? Allah is talking about a group of people who belied the knowledge because they could not comprehend it. And this is a huge lesson in Aqidah. When it comes to our creed and our belief as Muslims, regardless if something so-called makes sense to us or not, we must surrender and accept, as long as it is affirmed that it has authentically been reported from Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the reason why the scholars mention this is because the intellect or the mind, my dear brothers and sisters, is weak. And it is not something that we set as a scale to what we accept and reject. Our scale is not the intellect for accepting and rejecting. No. Our scale for acceptance and rejecting is what is authentic and what is not authentic, regardless if our mind comprehends or understands it or does not. As long as it is authentic, we hear and we obey. If we have the benefit of understanding or realizing the wisdom behind something or not, this is a bonus. But even if we do not, we hear and we obey. This is how it is as a Muslim, a true Muslim who follows the way of the pious predecessors. So it is obligatory upon you, the Sheikh says, to believe in that which is authentically established from Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whether you know it or imagine it in your mind, because indeed it will occur in the future. Allah Azza wa Jal says, لِكُلِّ نَبَإٍ مُسْتَقَرٍ وَسَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. For every news there is a reality to come. And this day of judgment that Allah speaks about, and these two angels, Munkar and Nakir, and the Sirat and Paradise and Hellfire, even though we have not seen them, Allah says, every news we give you, it is a reality that will come. And this is certainty. We as Muslims must have yaqeen, certainty in what Allah informs us of, especially of the unseen. So the news and information that you have been informed of, all of it has a specific time. When its time comes, it will manifest itself. Our obligation is to believe. This is what we are obliged to do, because it is the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah only speaks the truth. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, falsehood cannot come to it from before it or behind it. This is regarding the Quran and Allah's word. Falsehood cannot reach it. Corruption cannot reach it. But Allah Azza wa Jal, when He informs us of something, it is with certainty that we must believe in it. Likewise is the speech of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he does not speak from his own whims and desires. Not only do we have certainty with Allah's words, we also must have certainty with the words of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because his words only come from Allah. As Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ, he does not speak from himself. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ, it is only a revelation revealed to him. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam orders something, prohibits something, advises something, encourages something, this is all from Allah. He does not speak from himself and his own whims and his desires. So we do not depend upon our own intellect. Because if we made the intellect the judge, then whose intellect do we use? My intellect, your intellect, they're all different. So it cannot be set as the scale. Everyone has a different understanding. Everyone has different intellects. So your scale of judgment is the Quran and the Sunnah. It is the book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we only depend upon revelation regarding matters of the unseen. Anything related to the unseen, we cannot accept it unless it came from revelation. You can't come to me and tell me in the next life there's a five-headed horse. You can't come and say that to me, because this is a matter related to the unseen. And anything related to the unseen, I require proof. And the proof is only from the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we do not enter these realms with our intellects and thoughts, allowing them to interfere with these matters. Those affairs dealing with the life in the grave are matters from the hereafter. The matters of the grave, my brothers and sisters, is from the matters of the next life. And the Sheikh gives an example. He says, for example, if we were to unearth a person after he has been placed in his grave, we would find him as we placed him. Bury a person, then come one day later, maybe a few weeks, months, he'll be different. But let's assume one day later. If you unearth him, it'll usually be the case he looks the same as when you put him in the grave. We would find him as we placed him. But he, this person in the grave, he is in another world. Even though he looks the same, but he is now in the life of the barzakh. And the barzakh life is the life of the grave. That's the life between the dunya and the next life, the hereafter. So you have the dunya, which is this world. Then you have the barzakh, which is the grave. And then you have the akhirah, paradise, hellfire. So the person in the grave is in that life, the life of the barzakh. And we cannot see that which happens to him, because he is in another world which is unseen. You might look at him and he's just lying down, but he will be in the midst of either punishment or bliss, but we can't see it because it is a matter of the unseen. So the Imam speaks about Nakir and Munkar. These are the names of the two angels who come to the deceased immediately after he is buried. As soon as he is buried and his soul returns to his body, these two angels, and that's their names, Nakir and Munkar. And these two angels will sit the person upright in their grave, and the person will be alive, but alive befitting to the barzakh. It is the barzakh life, not our world. It's the barzakh life. And as for these two angels being named Munkar and Nakir, these two names, my brothers and sisters, believe it or not, even though they are two angels, but these names, Munkar and Nakir, are not pleasant names. The name Munkar and the name Nakir is not a pleasant name. And in reality, the name Munkar, what it means is something that's unbearable or evil or a wicked thing. That's according to the name. Yeah? The name, that's what it means. And Nakir is something that's difficult, drastic, or something denied. So if you look at these two names, they're not pleasant. And subhanAllah, they are the names of the two malaika that question you in the grave. As it has been reported in the authentic hadith of Rasulullah SAW. And the reason why they are called by these two names is because these two angels are extremely frightening in sight. They look very scary. This is what the reports have taught. And the people, the sheikh says, the people will deny and refuse to look at them because of how frightened they will be. Allahu Akbar. And these are two angels of Allah. And because of their names, it is established and understood that they are scary. So scary that the person will not even have the courage to look at them. And they are the angels of the test. They come to ask the questions. So these two angels will come in a form which is unfamiliar to man, which he never saw in his life. So it is from this angle that they are given the names Munkar and Nakir. And this is a refutation against those who deny naming the angels with these two names. Some people, they denied these two names, and they said these are not names befitting to angels. But this is rejected, because the Sunnah came with these names. The Sunnah came with these names. So the Sheikh, the Imam, he said, surely you are being advised. Do not reject something out of ignorance. I am giving you advice. Surely you are being advised. And what this means is, I advise you not to deny these matters, the matters of the unseen, or matters that you cannot comprehend, or matters that according to your small brain do not make sense. How many people say, I don't take that, that doesn't make sense, this is very dangerous. If it doesn't make sense to you, it'll make sense to someone else. And once again, the intellect is not the judge. The judge is the authenticity, the Quran and the Sunnah. And we say we hear and we obey, even if we do not understand. But you will find some people like this. They reject something because according to them, it does not make sense. And this is very dangerous. This is the way of the people of innovation, and that's what sent many of the innovators astray. The fact that they cannot accept something because according to their mind, they cannot comprehend it or understand it. It's not your duty to understand and comprehend everything. There are matters that are unseen to us, but we must obey. And that's what it means to be a mu'min. And the Imam gave us an advice here, and that's something beautiful, because as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the religion is sincere advice. الدين النصيحة. The religion is sincere advice. So the companions asked, to who, Ya Rasulullah? He said, the rulers, to Allah, his messenger, and the rulers of the Muslims, and to the common folk. And the author is saying, I advise you not to deny that which has been established from the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that which has come by way of the Quran and Sunnah, as the Mu'tazila and the people of misguidance deny these things. The Mu'tazila, my brothers and sisters from the deviant sects, they denied the punishment of the grave because according to them it does not make sense. It's something they can't see. And this is falsehood, no doubt, and it's kufr to deny the punishment of the grave, to deny anything from the affairs of the next life, is disbelief. Because believing in the last day means to believe in everything that happens on the last day. And believing in the last day is one of the pillars of Iman. If it is removed, Iman is removed. So those affairs which happen to the deceased after he is placed in his grave, it is obligatory for us to believe in them. There's a number of things. A number of things that happen in the grave. The first is the two angels, as we mentioned. Munkar and Nakir. They come to the deceased. And if someone asks, how can they come to him inside his grave? We cannot see them. The answer is, Allah is able to do all things. And besides, there are indeed many things which you and are kept hidden from you, and you still believe in them. Some people say this, how can these two angels come to the grave when we can't see them? If we stood on the grave and we left the grave open, we will not see any two angels come. The Sheikh refutes them by saying, there's a lot of things you believe in without seeing it. You believe you have a heart, you can't see it. You believe you have an intellect. How can you see your intellect? How can you see your mind? Not the brain, the mind. The mind that thinks. How can you see? Your soul. If you believe you have a soul, how can you see it? There are many things a person believes in that they cannot see. So we cannot pick and choose. So the two angels will come and they sit the person up and they ask him, who is your Lord? And what is your religion? And who is your prophet? And the true believer answers, my Lord is Allah, and my religion is Islam, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is my prophet. Then a caller will call out. And that caller is Allah Azza wa Jal. A caller will call out, my servant has spoken the truth. Can you imagine that? You pass the test. And Allah calls out, my servant has spoken the truth. So furnish him in his grave from Jannah. Make his grave furnished from paradise. And make his grave spacious as far as his eyes can see. And open a door for him to paradise. And he will be given from its fragrances and good scent. And he will say, O Lord, hurry up with the commencement of the hour. This person now, he's enjoying his life in his grave. He knows he's done well. So he asks Allah to rush with the day of judgment. SubhanAllah. Because he knows what's waiting for him. So his grave becomes a garden from the gardens of Jannah, even though we cannot see this. If you look in his grave, it's dirt. But SubhanAllah, in his life, The barzakh life, it is a garden from the gardens of paradise. The Shaykh then says, as for the hypocrite, who in the life of this world lived upon doubt and suspicion, and likewise he died upon it, when the two angels question him, "Who is your Lord?" he will say, "I do not know." And when he is asked, "What is your religion?" he will reply, "I do not know. I used to hear the people saying something, so I said what they said." And when he is asked, "Who is your prophet?" he will reply, "I do not know." Because these questions in the grave, my brothers, it's not the mouth that speaks, it's your iman. So when you have iman, you will answer. But without iman, you will not be able to answer. Even if in the dunya a person acted like Allah is his Lord, but if he was not sincere and genuine in his religion, he will not be able to answer in his grave. Because it's the iman that speaks off your tongue. And this is because in this world he did not believe with his heart, but he only spoke with his tongue. As he says, "I used to hear the people saying something, so I said what they said." It's just lip service. No concreted faith within the person's heart. So then, when the hypocrite answers in this way, Allah Azza wa Jal calls. He failed the test. And he says, "My servant has lied. My servant has lied. So furnish him from the hellfire and open a door for him to the hellfire." Then the heat and the pus from hellfire will come to him. His grave will be constricted. Look, subhanAllah, the mu'min, his grave is as far as his eye can see, wide, spacious. But this person, his grave becomes constricted upon him until his ribs are crushed, the hadith mentions. His grave will become a pit from the pits of hellfire, and he will say, "My Lord, do not bring the hour." Because he knows what's waiting. One is wishing for the hour, and the other is wishing it does not come. Because Allah's reward and his punishment are both great. His reward and his punishment are both great. And inshallah, we will continue from where we left off in our next lesson, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمُ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمُ.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.